Out to Hayward. He'll step back. Three. Bang! Big, big buckets down the stretch. 32 for Hayward. Hayward on a step back. Oh! Down she goes! Hayward, one big shot after another, and a career night for Gordon Hayward.
This is Gordon Hayward from the Utah Jazz, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Biscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. We're going to talk basketball for this next segment. I think basketball is overshadowed right now by football, college football, NFL. You got Major League Baseball. You got a lot of stuff going on. And actually, the NBA season is 15 days away. There's been some news coming out about the Utah Jazz we talked about earlier today. Gordon Hayward injured, out for up to 6 weeks. Where do the Jazz sit? We're going to talk NBA basketball right now. We're going to get a great friend of the show, Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com, joining us over the phone right now. Jameson, great to get you on today. Great to hear from you again. It's been a while.
Oh, man, thanks for having me as always, man. Definitely appreciate it. You know, it's that time of year again. You know, October is, we're mid-October. That means we're a couple weeks away from the NBA season starting. I think we're 2 weeks away from opening night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 15 days away from the Jazz taking on the Blazers here on KOAL, so we're really getting down to it. And that's what I want to start this topic off with. I want to start this segment off by talking about the Jazz here, Jameson, because I was on multiple shows last week, and a lot of hosts thought I was crazy when they asked who would make the biggest jump out of teams not making the postseason, and they said this Jazz team is set up to win 45 to 50 games a season. They have to make the biggest jump. Then I say that, and then Gordon Hayward suffers an injury that puts him out for roughly 6 to 8 weeks. Bad news for the Jazz, but even without Gordon Hayward, this team is still going to be one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the West, right?
Well, my thing is this. When it comes to the Jazz, we need to see it before we put our names on the line with them. Yes, they're a talented team, a young team. They have a lot of nice pieces that a lot of people like. But we need to see it. Like, it needs to be seen first instead of just saying, giving them the benefit of the doubt. And then when one of your best players, why your best player goes down with an injury, we're going to see who takes that next step. Does Rodney Hood take that next step and assume some of that responsibility? Does Joe Johnson give you good production out the gate in a new situation? To me, very interesting to see. A lot of teams were really big on the Jazz in the offseason. I particularly wasn't one of them. I like what the team they have. I just think they're limited offensively. I think not being able to score 105 points if need be on a regular basis is going to be difficult in the Western Conference, even though they play really good defense. But you're going to need to be able to score. If you can't get to 105 regularly, I think you could have some issues. But with that being said, the Western Conference is up from grabs from seed 3 to, I think, 12. So nothing would surprise me. I think they do take a jump. They are a playoff team in the West, but I don't know if they're as high as 4 or 5 like a lot of people have them. I think Portland is better than them personally. I think overall Portland is the better overall team at this time. Not by much, but they are a better team.
Yeah, it's really iffy. First off, you have to be healthy. I mean, that's the bottom line. And by me picking the Jazz to win 45 to 50 games, I'm also assuming that at some point in time this year, Trey Lyle steps into the stretch four position and really changes things offensively for the Jazz, because the way it's set up right now with Rudy Gobert and with Derek Favors, I'm with you. I don't like the offense enough, but 1 through 5 in the starting five defensively, you're hard-pressed to find a better starting five in the league.
That is true. That's very, very true. You know, solid guys all the way around. That's the thing. Like, usually teams have starting five where one guy or two guys are kind of below average or below the league norm. But, you know, the Jazz, they're pretty solid. They got either average or up on pretty much everyone that's starting when healthy. So that's a good thing. The thing I'm looking for is who's going to take the next step on that team. Who's going to take the next step and raise their level of gameplay? Because you have a guy like Rudy Gobert, who's a young guy and a lot of talent. What is he going to do? I believe this is year. Is this year 3 or 4 for him?
4.
So, you know, I'm looking to see what he's going to do. I want to see what Trey Lyles is going to do. You know, we're going to get from Derek Favors. I just want to see the young guys, you know, the two young guys, Rodney Hood, Rudy Gobert, if they got better over this offseason and they take their games to the next level, then yes, the Jazz can be a top 4 or 5 team in the West. But if they did not, then we're looking at the same old situation, and probably them sneaking into the playoffs.
Again, our guest right now is Jamison Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jamison, we'll reverse here for a second. I want to talk about the rookies in the NBA this preseason. Obviously, we don't get any Ben Simmons because of a foot injury. Once again, the 76ers snake bit. They say trust the process, but I think that applies to 29 teams in the NBA. Does not apply to the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, again, that's the most Sixers thing possible. Ben Simmons going down with a foot injury, and there's talk of him maybe not even suiting up this season. And then you look at the number two pick in the NBA draft, Brandon Ingram. I get it. He's still a teenager, but he has not been very good in the preseason. So there was a lot of hype surrounding picks one and two, and so far it's kind of a letdown. I mean, I was excited to see these two guys out there on the court. I do believe Ingram will get better, specifically when the Lakers find a role for him, when Luke Walton settles in also as head coach. But again, Simmons not playing, Brandon Ingram not so good so far.
Well, it's like anything else. We have to have patience. Now, injuries are always a difficult situation, especially in Philadelphia when, like, the last 4 years they've had guys get hurt, you know, and whatnot. So that's always a tough situation. But patience is always preached in all these types of situations with rookies. One, with injuries, you got to be very, very careful because you don't know what may happen, especially with a foot injury on a big guy, a guy that just gained 33 pounds over, like, 2 months. You got to be very, very careful with that. You don't want to rush him back. There's really nothing to rush him back for. You want that thing to get completely healed and make sure that that thing can't get re-injured. Because with a foot injury, we saw Kevin Durant a couple years ago. Once that foot got hurt, he's pretty much done for. Like, he couldn't do anything. So you don't want – this is a long-term investment, and you don't want to mess it up in the first couple of months of that investment. You want to make sure that thing is right before you go any further. So it's going to be very interesting to see how Philly handles that. And with rookies in the preseason, like you mentioned, like Brandon Ingram and guys like that, it's going to take a little time. They're still getting used to and getting adapted to the pace of the game and whatnot. So there's still a lot going on. With that being said, I'm still interested to see, how he develops. You know, all these young guys are used to coming from college doing whatever they wanted. NBA is a different beast, and I want to see how that goes.
Preseason basketball is always kind of a mixed bag. I mean, the Golden State Warriors right now are the talk of the league. They are 2-1 in the preseason. I watched them play with a couple of teams. I mean, that's really what they have done. All three games, I think they've played with the teams that they've gone up against. Are you worried at all? If you're a Golden State Warrior fan, would you be worried at all about this team clicking chemistry-wise? Because I look at it, your fourth best shooter on the team may in fact be Klay Thompson, which is amazing to think about. And ironically, he's probably your best on-ball defender now at this point in time in Andre Iguodala's career. Any worries about the chemistry in Golden State from what you've seen in the three games so far?
I wouldn't worry about it because, remember, two of the guys he played well on the Team USA this past summer with. So that also helped any problems that could have happened, or, it helped speed up the process a bit because you're around two guys constantly that you're going to be playing with. So that helped a lot more than anyone's realizing. And that offense, chemistry finds itself because it's not like two guys are going to dominate the ball and that's that. Everyone gets the basketball. Everyone is going to get their shots. Not like, all right, well, someone's going to miss shots now because such and such is here. Like, no, that ball moves and it finds an open guy. If you're over in the corner with an open three, you're going to shoot it. So it's going to be very fun to watch. I don't think they're going to have a whole lot of problems, to be honest with you. Their biggest issue that they're going to have to address is getting a rim-protecting big, because Zaza Pachulia is a good big. He'll be good for them. But on defense, you're going to need a guy that can protect the rim that people fear for going to the hoop for. That's going to be their biggest issue going forward. I know they drafted a rookie, but he's hurt right now. They may have to go find a guy. I'm not sold on JaVale McGee. Come on now. We're not going to go down that road at all. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time on that. But they might need to get a veteran rim-protecting big somewhere down the line. Even like a guy like Hibbert, and I'm not a Hibbert fan at all, but even a guy like that would help them off their bench like 10 minutes a night. Just a guy that teams would think twice before going to the hoop for.
Yeah, their plan right now is to outscore teams. I mean, let's be honest. They're going to score 130. You want to score 120 on us, that's fine. We'll score 125 or 130. That's the game plan in Golden State, right?
It is, but remember, Jordan, like, the thing that makes Golden State so good over the last couple of years has been their defense.
That has, right.
As good as an offensive team as they've been, their defense was their calling card. Like, they would be able to shut you down. They'd be able to lock you up and hold you under 24 quarter or two in a game when need be, and they would hit their stride offensively, and next thing you know, the game's over. Their defense was their calling card in a lot of cases, and it wasn't getting mentioned a lot because their offense was so great. But when you win championships, your defense is what takes notice, and That's why I'm interested to see how they get after on the defensive end. We've seen more energy on that end from Steph Curry, you know, and that's promising. Even though he's not a defensive player, but there's more attention to detail, more energy on that end from him. So that's a good thing if you're a Warriors fan. I want to see how their defense is this year. After losing how they lost in the finals, I want to see how their defense is going to be, because you only win championships with defense. You can't have that method of scoring 130 in the finals in the playoffs. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to lock down. And again, I still think they're going to need a defensive-type center somehow, some way. He doesn't have to be a big name. It doesn't have to be no one great. They just need someone to be able to have someone think twice before they turn that corner and go to the hoop.
And all this talk about the NBA, and we haven't even mentioned the defending champs, who, by the way, have LeBron James on their team. Still no J.R. Smith. I don't think J.R. Smith is going to play for Cleveland this year. Now there's rumors floating that there's a chance that Boston could be interested in J.R. Smith. How big of a loss would that be for Cleveland?
He's not going anywhere. He was at Cleveland. He was wearing an Indian jersey game, too, I think it was, with LeBron. He's not leaving. His agent is LeBron James's people. Like, he's not leaving. He's trying to get as much as he can. He's not getting $15 million a year. He may get, like, 12 a year for 3 or 4 years. And it might be for 4 years, but it'll be three of them will be guaranteed. One will be an option year or something like that. And I don't blame the fans. They have no incentive to give in to JR. They have LeBron on for both 2 years now. So they have no incentive to just give in to LeBron's clients. With that being said, J.R. Smith is very instrumental in what they do. He's pretty much their only outside shooter that can really still play. I mean, Dunleavy's on the team, but I don't know how much he has left in the tank. But they don't have another guy to what J.R. does on that team. So losing him would kind of hurt. I think it gets resolved, but nothing would surprise me. I mean, these things have a weird way of working out. If a team with cap room says, you know what, JR would be a good fit for us, and they do offer him this 15 for 4 years, he might be gone. You know, these things happen. Remember, this is probably JR's best contract he'll ever get, so he's going to look to cash out one last time before his career is over. So this is that time.
Again, one of the best follows around during the NBA season is Jameson Welsh joining us. Jameson, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find your work and also find you on social media.
A lot of places with basketball season comes around. Of course, on Twitter at TheJameson. Always on Jordan's show once a week. ESPN 1480 out in Nebraska. Fox Sports 1340 out in New Mexico. Out here in Vegas, you'll hear me on ESPN 1100. Fox Sports 1340 and NBC Sports 920 AM during the NBA and college basketball season.
There you have it, Jameson. It's always fun to talk with you. Great to get you back on. And that means the basketball season's right around the corner. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Oh, not a problem, man. Thanks for always having me, and don't work too hard out there.
We are out of time on the show today. Always got to thank Jameson for taking out the time to join us. We'll be back tomorrow. More local sports. We'll catch up with Coach Eric Nielsen of the Emory Lady Spartan Soccer Squad. We'll start previewing the state tournament for Emory Soccer. That's coming up tomorrow on the show. Until then, be safe. I am out.